broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for March 26th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is hour two of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, and to do so in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by our founding fathers. One of the great solutions we find at our fingertips. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration. The good Sheriff Richard Mack with me. Welcome back to the broadcast, sir.
Thanks, Sam. Like I said before, it's great to be with you this beautiful Saturday morning.
I guess our discussion today is all about lies. Yet, at last hour, we talked about this transgender discussion. And if a transgender is a third gender, let them play in their own third gender sports, ladies and gentlemen. If it's not a third gender, then if I live as or identify as the gender difference different from the science, am I living a lie? That's kind of the debate. And what we want to do is pretend we can compromise this away, that we can somehow find a way to reach common ground. Common ground does not deny science, ladies and gentlemen. Common ground does not live a lie. Well, the reason that I lead with that is so that you realize, if you're just joining us this hour, what we talked about last hour, it will be online and available, archived, on demand at your fingertips, if you will, if you want to go back and listen to that riveting hour where the Utah legislative body overrode the governor, shut him down on this transgender thing. The Utah legislative body simply said, hey, we're not going to have men in women's sports. We're just not doing that. Transgenders are not welcome to play. Now, the whole nation's calling it discriminatory and everything else. But again, denying science is discriminatory. Denying science literally denies God as well. So, you know, we got a whole lot to talk about there. But I bring up the lie discussion because it relates to this hour of what we want to talk about in great detail. If we can, I'm going to have Sheriff Mack take the bulk of the discussion this first hour because then he's got to fly, and I'll finish up the discussion in the last half hour. But here's the deal. You know, patriots are running around the country now really frustrated because, hey, there's overreach by government. It's totally out of control, and they want to fight back, and they want to do a bunch of things. They want to push for a constitutional convention. They think that might help. They want to go ahead and run around and use all kinds of arguments. Look, I'm not responsible for the income tax, and therefore I'm not paying. Look, I'm a constitutional sovereign citizen, and therefore I don't drive, so I don't need a driver's license. They come back and say, look, we're going to have this common law sovereign jury, and we're going to go ahead and have a common law jury and indict all these people. And the arguments are many. The ideas are plentiful about how they believe that somehow, because we the people are the sovereigns, we the people are in charge, that somehow that gives them this autonomy to do whatever they want, right, to literally put themselves above all others, if you will. Sheriff, let's start there. Your thoughts first.
Let's start which one?
We'll start with this idea, though, that people think because we the people, so you look at the Declaration of Independence, and it says this,
right,
governments derive their just powers from the consent of the governed. Therefore, right, Sheriff, if that's us, that's me, that's you, then we have authority to do whatever we want. You know what? Forget that government.
Yeah,
they're out of control. Stop them. We're in charge, my friend.
That's a good start, a place to start, because, Sam, I believe we do have to push the envelope where it says when government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people, is the duty of the people to throw off such government and establish new guards, new government. And I don't believe that that has ever been defined. A lot of people would define that as voting. I don't. I think it comes much more powerful. There's much more power than that. However, at the same time, I do not believe that 12 people in your county can get together and appoint themselves to be a jury, a grand jury, no less, and file a criminal complaint in that grand jury proceeding that they're completely taking over on their own, with no government oversight, with no consent of the governed happening whatsoever. And then they proceed to say that this represents all the people, and that it is a we the people purpose and resolution, and therefore the sheriff needs to take their indictment and go and arrest the mayor or the governor, or they could even do it to the sheriff. They could be literally filing that indictment against the sheriff. So you have to ask, who's going to serve the indictment on the sheriff? I don't just question this procedure, Sam. I completely disagree with it. I think, and I have used a word to describe such a proceeding, and it is bogus. In fact, I have said it's completely bogus. Because first of all, Sam, in a practical viewpoint, we have delegated powers to our public officials. Yes, we bestow all powers. I admit that. It comes from us. And it is rightfully so. I don't take issue with that. We are in charge of this government. Government needs our permission to exist. But when government officials break the law or are corrupt, that becomes the biggest problem that we could ever imagine. Because how then do we take it back? How do we take our position back? How do we undo the power that we just delegated to somebody? We didn't give it to them. It's not theirs. It's on loan to them from us. We delegated this power to the sheriff, to the mayor, to the city council, to the governor, to the state legislature. And we see even conflicts happening between those two bodies. And that's fine. That's what a way the checks and balances work. But what this doesn't have, Sam, is any check and balance. When the jury, when a 12 people get together and form a jury, you and I have discussed this kind of tongue in cheek, but it brings out a very true point. Why can't another 12 people come and have their jury and nullify what the other jury just did? And then another 12 to do that, and then another 12, and another 12, and another 12. And maybe they don't need 12. Maybe they just need two. You know, why do they need 12? Where did they get that from? Why are they following any rules? And to me, Sam, I have compared it to this, and I will do it again. It just seems to be nothing more or less than a star chamber. Elite people get together and say, this person is guilty of something. There's no transparency. There's no public trial to do with this. It's all done in secret, and it's done by 0.0002% of the people. So that cannot, it does not have the consent of the governed. In fact, most people in this country, or if it's done in your county, 99.999% of the people don't even know what you're doing. And that same 99.999 would not like what you're doing, and they don't approve of what you're doing. So who wins in that case, the 0.001% or the rest of the people? Who's really in charge of what's going on in our community and our society? Is it just the 12 people that get together and say, yes, we're going to do this? And there's another point about all this, Sam. Where do they come up with this idea? Well, a lot of them say it comes from the Seventh Amendment. And perhaps we need to look at the Seventh Amendment and see if there really is a basis for what they're coming up with. So I'm taking out my little pocket constitution here, and let's see where this goes, Sam. The Seventh Amendment is one that starts off in suits of common law. So we're talking about common law, which then begs to define common law. And that are the laws that are just common among all of us, like laws against murder, laws against rape, laws against theft. Those are common things that everyone agrees are lawful and should be there. So in cases of common law, in suits of common law, where the value of the controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved. So many states, especially Arizona, violate that on a daily basis because you're not allowed a jury. I don't believe you're allowed a jury in Utah either, because I used to work there. You're not allowed a jury in traffic matters. But they are violating the Fifth Amendment where they're taking your property without due process. So I'll get back to the Seventh Amendment after the break.
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live. I got a question for you. Are you part of the sovereign citizen movement? Who is a sovereign citizen? What is a sovereign citizen? Are you one? Are you a sovereign citizen? Hang tight. More in seconds. The good Sheriff Richard Mack and Sam Bushman on your radio.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman and Sheriff Richard Mack digging into this topic. You know, are you absolutely in charge? You know what? Jettison the government. You know what? The government is for the people, by the people. That's us. You know, government's out of control. Stop them. We got to go ahead and do whatever we want to. Sovereign movement comes to mind. But really, they pin a lot of their arguments on this Seventh Amendment idea, which is, hey, you know what? All of our laws are rooted and based in common law, Sheriff.
Yeah, and that's what the Seventh Amendment finishes with. It says that the trial by jury is maintained. And I believe that they're talking about a jury here more than they're talking about a common law citizens grand jury. That doesn't seem to be what that if anybody takes the Seventh Amendment and says, oh yeah, we can form our own citizen grand juries without any government involvement, that's not what this is saying at all. So let's finish with this. It says in suits of common law. So those are civil cases. It's talking about civil cases where the jury still is the one in charge. So in suits of common law, where the value of the controversy exceeds $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved. That's not talking about a common law grand jury or a citizen's grand jury. And no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of common law. So I don't have a problem with any of that. I totally support the Seventh Amendment. I think it's great. It shows that many states are violating the Seventh Amendment. In fact, I use that in my suggestions of people when you go to court with a traffic ticket. Ask the judge at the very beginning, will the Constitution, do my constitutional rights apply in this courtroom? Do my rights apply as spelled out in the Bill of Rights? And then you say, well, then, Your Honor, here's my check for $20 because you're not allowing me a jury and the controversy is over $20. And so here's my check for $20 and I'll see you later. The judge would be bound by that because he's already bound by oath to uphold and defend the Constitution. So anyway, this whole thing that's stating the Seventh Amendment is giving people permission to form their own juries and then file indictments against public officials or even other citizens is completely bogus. I don't see that in there anywhere. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about civil suits and juries are still in charge of those, as well as what it just did in the Sixth Amendment, criminal juries. That juries that will handle, I don't want to call juries criminal, that juries that handle criminal complaints are in charge. That's fine. I totally believe that. And this is common sense. But stating that the Seventh Amendment is allowing this to occur is just ridiculous. They also lean on something that Justice Scalia said in one case, that the fourth branch of government is the citizens being jurors. And that's all great. That's fine, completely fine. But that's not permission, again, to form your own baseless common law grand juries. And calling it common law is a misnomer, because common law means you're subject to the law, not that you can just do anything that you want.
Well, and the origins of common law are relevant to England is the origin of common law, and it related to the King's Court, ladies and gentlemen. So
sure.
The common law in the King's Court was really nothing more than an over time, an evolution of the creation of these principles that are adhered to, really, in the King's Court. If you want to get literal, that's what common law is, right?
Well, that is where a lot of it originated, and some of them even go back as far as the Magna Carta of 1215, and I don't have any problem with that either. The history of it, no problem. It's all part of our history. A lot of it came from that. A lot of our principles of liberty came from the rights of Englishmen of 1650, and Chris Ann Hall talks about that quite a bit. But for anyone to presume that this is talking about, oh yes, hey, you call Joe, I'll call John, and you call Larry, and I'll call a few others, and then we'll form our own common law grand jury, and we'll get together and we'll vote whether or not Sheriff Mack should be arrested. and then they vote that, yes, I should be. That pretty much, at that point, stops all the common law grand juries. They're gone. They're finished, because they don't have anybody to serve the warrant, the writ, the indictment. And then some of them have come up with this thing, since I proposed that to a lot of them, then next thing you know, they came up with something called the Intercontinental Marshal. I'm not sure where they came up with that, but they said that the Intercontinental, and you could, of course, point yourself to be an Intercontinental Marshal, and then that guy can go serve the warrant.
Well, I'm identifying as an Intercontinental Marshal, sir. I'm certainly doing that. See, this is what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen. You can't just make it so because you believe it or want it or hope it. You can't make it so, people. And by the way, what is it? Intercontinental? What does that mean? Uh-huh. International?
I guess so, yeah.
No, international is like having a driver's license. We travel, sir. This is intercontinental, not international, right? See, and that's kind of what we do is we wordsmith our way into this. But that's really global governance by individualism.
Right.
See, that's where we go,
and, you know,
right?
That's another one that comes up a lot, and that is the driver's license. Do I need to ask permission from government that they permit me to actually travel when traveling would be guaranteed? You really can't see anywhere in the Constitution where you have a right to travel specifically. I believe that we do. But also, you need to understand the states, and this is where I'm torn between that, and I am 50-50 on this. I don't believe that the government has any authority to establish a permit system to get married. I don't believe that came from Jim Crow laws. It's wrong, immoral, and it was based on racism. So I believe it's once you explain to people where the marriage license came from, most people go, "Oh gosh, yeah, where did government get off licensing me to marry my wife? That's just between me, God, and my wife." And that makes sense. I don't agree with the marriage license at all. However, on a driver's license, do not all of us, Sam, your family, my family, my neighbor's family, don't we have a right to know that the people that are allowed to drive actually have proven that they're competent and capable of driving? And I think that's a societal norm and expectation that is reasonable. Does that mean that government gets to regulate that to death like they do now with a DMV? I would say probably not. But I think there is a methodology that could be reasonably established that makes sure that 12 and 13-year-olds are not driving, and that people that we have established an age that, yeah, okay, it's reasonable that a 16-year-old could do that. And my granddaughter Libby is getting really close to that, to that wonderful age. But at the same time, we need to remember the states have very broad regulatory authority. The federal government has almost zero regulatory authority. They have the Commerce Clause, and that's it. And they've stretched that, of course. They don't care about the law. And they don't.
And they
care
have
about
the Supremacy Clause, which they mock and manipulate as well.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So we need to all the good people, and I know that they are good people, the people that form the assemblies across the country are good people looking for valid solutions. Some of them have gone a little too far on some of it, but I still really believe that they are good people. But there's some of them are just really too headstrong and believe that these solutions that they're pursuing are actually solutions when they are not. They're not. And I really want to appeal to everyone on this program and across America. We really need to focus on legitimate, workable solutions. We can do this, but we've got to focus on what really works.
Sheriff, we know you got to fly. Thank you so much. I'll dovetail on a lot of these discussions as well. I'll talk about some of the origins. I'll talk about some of the myths and the realities that we face in modern day. We're not trying to be against these people, but we want to help people keep out of trouble. Thank you, Sheriff.
Yeah. Thanks, Sam. See you soon, brother.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News.
President Biden joined a meeting this morning between Secretary of State Blinken and Defense Secretary Austin and the Ukrainian foreign and defense ministers in Poland. After meeting with Polish President Andrzej Duda, Biden is expected to give a speech on the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Duda is expected to ask for more U.S. troops on NATO's eastern flank, as well as for an international peacekeeping mission. Ginny Thomas's text messages with former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows have the attention of the January 6th committee. CBS News is reporting that several members want Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas's wife to talk to the committee. Committee members will return to Washington next week. A 14-year-old is dead after falling off of a tower attraction at Icon Park Theme Park in Orlando, Florida. Orange County Sheriff John Mina.
It appears to be a terrible tragedy, but our investigation is still open.
This is USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule. Changing the world, one life at a time.
Before I started taking Balance of Nature, I was so exhausted, and they found nothing wrong. Everything was good, just no energy. For years, I was so worn out. Well, I want to tell you, Balance of Nature has been so good for me. I'm 84 years old, and I feel like I'm 30. I want to scream with happiness. I feel like I'm 30 years old now. So I want to thank Balance of Nature for everything, because this has been the best thing I've ever done.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
House Republicans are hammering Democrats after a retreat at a resort in Florida. Congressman Jim Jordan.
This is the concern Americans have, and whether it's big tech, whether it's the cancel culture mob coming after people who don't speak what the woke mob thinks is appropriate.
Ukrainian President Zelensky is calling on energy producing nations to increase their output so Russia can't use oil and gas to, quote, blackmail other countries. President Biden announced a new deal to help provide Europe with at least 15 billion cubic meters more of liquefied natural gas to help wean Europe from its Russian oil dependence.
This initiative focuses on two core issues. One, helping Europe reduce its dependency on Russian gas as quickly as possible. And secondly, reducing Europe's demand for gas overall.
Former President Trump's luxury hotel near the White House received government approval for sale to a Miami investment fund for $375 million. This is USA Radio News.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, back with you live. So listen, there was an article written about a decade ago. It's an article from over 10 years ago from Forbes magazine. And it says this: what is a sovereign citizen? And I'm asking you, ladies and gentlemen, are you part of the sovereign citizen movement? Do you identify as a sovereign citizen? England, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is the origin of the common law that exists in the United States today. And I want to set the record straight on a few reality checks. This can get very complicated very fast. The enemies of the sovereign citizen movement claim, hey, all sovereign citizen means is whoever claims to identify with it, be part of the movement, they think they're above the law and they can do whatever they want to. And I think there's some truth to that statement, ladies and gentlemen, but I also think it's an incredible oversimplification. Because if you ask if somebody's a member of the sovereign citizen movement, you know, nobody just says, oh, yeah, absolutely. The other problem with it is there's no organization called the sovereign citizen movement. There's people who have all kinds of beliefs across the spectrum relating to our God-given rights. The origins of authority, the clarification of terms, and we go on. And it's very complicated. Well, this Forbes magazine article over a decade ago literally said, hey, the reason that we're bringing this up is because cops are being really assaulted by this discussion. They don't know how to respond to it. So they're reaching out to the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI, to try to get a handle on this, to try to figure out, hey, man, how do we deal with these people? Because they don't do normal things. They don't drive. They say we don't need a driver's license. We have a God-given, inalienable right to travel. Therefore, we're traveling. We don't need a driver's license. They say things like, hey, you know what? We're not bound by the IRS and the taxes. Go look at the law. And so they're not just above the law. They actually appeal to the law. And the debate becomes very nuanced when we appeal to the law. Because what the sovereign citizen movement says is, hey, there's this corporate law, which we don't agree with. There's this corporation, everybody's name is turned into a corporate entity, and therefore corporate law is governing this thing, not common law. And therefore, you got to look at the fringe on the flag, and you got to look at this, and you got to, and you can identify what kind of court or jurisdiction you're in. And so it becomes a jurisdictional debate that I'm not in your jurisdiction. Well, I want to take a step back from all that, because they even say, hey, you know what? We lost our liberty back in 1871, Sam. You know, it ran off the rails then. We lost a lot of states' rights, and, you know, the 14th Amendment. Now people are citizens of the United States. They're not citizens of the given state or the 50 republics, and therefore that's when it ran off the rails. And there's all kinds of complicated discussions surrounding this. And I don't want anybody to email me or call me and say, Sam, you don't understand the sovereignty movement, or you don't understand what we're saying about 1871, because I'm trying to summarize it in a meaningful way, right? I'm trying to honestly highlight a lot of these claims and circumstances, and I reject most of them. Oh, Sam, how dare you, aren't you? If you would just get more educated on the topic, Sam, then we could show you how you're just wrong. Sam, just give us a minute and we can articulate for you and educate you and get you up to speed so that you'll understand that, you know what, you're just wrong on this, Sam. And I'm going to disagree. And I will say to you, if you want to email me and you want to open up a real in-depth, drill-down dialogue on this topic, I'm open to that kind of discussion with the right people that can have that conversation. But I'm not interested in those who half understand what they're talking about. And when you ask the hard questions, they don't understand what it means. They don't have the ability to answer my hard questions. They don't have the understanding and the reasoning to really talk through it. What happens is they assault me with all these ideas. Then when I push back, they go, well, you need to talk to this person because he or she is the one that really knows. I mean, I know what I'm talking about and everything, but this person can really, you know, dissect this with you, Sam. These people can really go through it in a way that, you know, you'll get it then. All right, you know what? So I don't mind being in touch with the so-called experts in this, the collegiate experts, whatever you want to call them. But I need to be able to drill in and really deal with some things. And so let me give you an example of the point. These, you know, so-called common law grand juries. First off, common law comes from the Court of England. So are you telling me they're Court of England grand juries? Well, no, Sam, we've adopted common law in the United States. That's the underpinnings of the United States law. Don't you know that, Sam? Well, now we're going to debate law, are we? Fine. Are we talking about the corporate law that you claim that you're not jurisdictionally part of? Or are you talking about the common law that you want to force in the corporate law courts? Well, no, Sam, that's why we have to have our own courts, you see, because the corporate law courts are, you know, they're all sold out. They're all compromised. They're all, they have a conflict of interest. Therefore, we have our own common law courts. All right, so your own common law court is an English court governed by the king? How common law are we going to get on this thing? Or is it, well, Sam, we reject a king. We divorced England. We got away from England there. Excellent, okay. So you divorced England, but you kept England's king's law, right? Well, no, Sam, wait a minute. These were laws that the people put together as they were battling with the king. And these are guidelines and commonplace principles that we put together as we fought the king. Great. So we fought the king. We rolled the king back based on the Magna Carta and other things. And now we've got these principles that we brought into America. That's great. That's fine. I accept all that. Good. Now you got these principles and you say, Sam, we want these principles to apply. Look at the Seventh Amendment, by golly, we have the right to do this. So I go back and say this. All right, let's look at the Declaration of Independence, because if we're going to go back, let's look at the quintessential document that let us jettison King George in the first place. We're going to jettison you, King George, but we're going to keep a lot of the principles that let us battle you along the way, because they were valid and good. We're going to keep some principles from the Magna Carta. We're going to keep some principles from the Declaration of Independence. We're going to keep some principles from the Articles of Confederation. We're just going to continue to roll forward and keep the things that we like. So my question is, can you keep what you like and not keep what you don't like? Jettison the king, but keep the principles. Yeah. So it gets very nuanced and very complicated. But suffice it to say, the Declaration of Independence clearly says, you know what? Government derives its just power from the consent of the governed. Now, is that an individual statement or a collective statement? Let me say it again. Government derives its just power from the consent of the governed. So if I decide that I do not give consent anymore, but you believe that you still give consent, do they have consent? Yes or no? I say they don't. By golly, they're off the rails. They're crazy. They're destroying everything that we hold dear. They're whacked out in the culture war. They literally reject science and live lies and codify those lies into law. In the culture war, these people are criminal. In the real, okay, and we go on. But look, I submit to you that when we say government derives its just power from the consent of the governed in the Declaration of Independence, we're talking about a collective here. We're not talking about individuals are sovereign in the extreme to the point where they can just decide what they want to do and when. That isn't the way our system works. So in the Declaration of Independence, it says that we can dissolve the bands that connect us to a government if we feel that government is too out of control. But is that a we statement or an I statement, you see? That's where we've got to really discuss this. I submit to you that collectively, we have ordained a government, we've given our consent, and they have their just powers from that consent. You say, well, Sam, the problem is they're outside of that. They're exercising unjust powers. Therefore, we got to rein them in. They're violating the contract. I agree with that. I agree completely with that general statement point. They are violating the contract. We need to rein them in. So the only question we're really debating is tactics. How do we do that? How do we rein them in, legally, lawfully, morally? Do we use the common law? Do we use the law in the king's court that we, well, rejected the king, but we're going to keep these principles and roll them forth? It's the fundamental basis for America, don't you know? Well, maybe, partially. I accept that common law principles are valuable, and I accept that that is the underpinnings of what has become the United States and the Constitution and all that kind of stuff. The debate, though, is jurisdictional now about who has authority, where, and when. The federal government has very limited responsibilities. It's listed and articulated in the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, and it's very narrow in scope. The states have much more broad power. So we, the people, have delegated certain authorities to certain jurisdictional entities, if you will. The general versus the state, the county versus the state, legislatively, judicially, executive, etc. We've done that intentionally. But do we do it individually or a collective did that, huh? Liberty Roundtable Live.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
This is a battle, a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth. We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. FreedomFactor.org.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, so the question becomes, when government derives its just power from the consent of the governed, Declaration of Independence, if you will, the people collectively, that's the governed, gave their consent. And when they gave their consent collectively, they did several things according to the contract. They said, general government, you have tremendous power, but it's incredibly limited. Here's the list of the things that you can do articulated in the Constitution. And everything that we didn't list is off the table. In fact, to make it even stronger, the Bill of Rights says we're going to even list things that you cannot do. So now you got a list in the Constitution of what you can do and a list in the Bill of Rights of what you can't do. And by the way, if we've left anything out and overlooked anything, just so you know, you can't do it, okay? That's what the Founding Fathers literally created. That's what the collective literally articulated, and that's what the collective contract says. So individuals can't jettison this collective whenever they want to. Why, you may ask? Because if you do, you don't have order. Okay, there's order in things. There's order to the proper role of government. There's checks and balances. We divide power intentionally as a collective because we say we don't want an individual or group to have too much power. Too much authority because they'll abuse it. Well, that's what's happening today. What's failing, you ask? Well, I told you that we gave consent to different jurisdictional boundaries, the counties, the states, the general government, the executive, the judicial, the legislative branches. We've vertically and horizontally divided so that no group gets too powerful. So think how contrary it is from that narrative of the collective of we the people saying, I'm going to let a, quote, sovereign grand jury, a common law grand jury, just create themselves, form themselves, and take action. Because what happens is this, quote, common law grand jury becomes judge, jury, and executioner all in one, violating the three-branch separation we've created. It also suggests that we don't have county, state, general government jurisdictions. We can cross those boundaries as well. So the common law jury literally then seeks to take power into the hands of the few, virtually by self-appointment. It flies in the face of everything that our founding fathers peacefully set up. If we devolve into a situation where we're at war and there is no order in the system, and our form of government is literally gone, then we may have some rights to put together some citizens of safety groups, put together some way to try to restore a semblance of order in society. But until then, we don't have that option, and we're not even close to being there yet. Is there a lot of problems, or are there a lot of problems? Without a doubt. I can name them as well as you can. I've been talking about them for over 25 years on your radio. I get that there's a plethora of problems that we face out there. No doubt about it, my fellow Americans. But we need to understand that we cannot create a poison pill. We cannot pretend that the ill is so great that any cure will do. And we can also not pretend that we somehow individually can take charge because, hey, we're we the people. Because what happens when my grand jury is bigger than your grand jury? What happens if my ability, I've got muscle behind my indictments, you see, I can send my posse after you. See, where do we go when this happens? And that's the problem, is that there's no order of authority. There's no jurisdictional checks and balances to these things. So, for example, what if a quote, sovereign citizen's grand jury gets together and decides to indict and arrest Sam Bushman? Is there any check and balance that can override that grand jury? What is above that grand jury to bring a check and balance, a safety to the people in that? And what jurisdictional boundaries govern their authority, if it even exists in the first place? You see, I maintain that you don't have authority individually. You don't have authority as a small group, no matter how bad you want it. And no matter how ambivalent your intentions may be, where do you get that authority from? Well, Sam, authority comes from God, don't you know? Government is created by we, the people, by men, and therefore authority comes from God to individually act with your agency, I agree. But authority doesn't come from God individually to form governments. Otherwise, I'm just going to create the government called Sam Bushman. And the Sam Bushman government can do whatever the heck it wants. You know, the Larry Barnaby government over there, you do your thing and I'll do mine, okay? Just don't hurt me. Just don't take my stuff. Just leave me alone. I'll leave you alone. You leave me alone. Good. We're good, right? No, we're not good. Because government, ladies and gentlemen, is a very delicate balance. It is a balance between a need for order, a need for societal contractual associations. And how do you then have a government? This is what the Founding Fathers wrestled with mightily. How do I create a government that has enough power to get the job done and not so much power that it abuses it? How do I create an entity that has enough mojo to get the job done, but not so much authority and capability that, hey, it could just run off the rails? And we created these checks and balances in an effort to achieve that unique tightrope balance. It's like walking a tightrope between tyranny and liberty. And how do you do that? And the Founding Fathers felt that, hey, dividing power, the consent of the governed collectively, we can give a little bit of power to this jurisdiction, a little bit of power to that jurisdiction. We can divide. We can create checks and balances that will protect the people. You say, well, Sam, how well is that working for you, buddy? It's melted down now, hasn't it? Just like we told you it would. Governments always fail. Governments always run off the rails. For an immoral people, the Founding Fathers said, that's true. And there's no way to prevent it for an immoral people. No way. Zero. Nada. Okay? But there is hope in the system. We don't need to go outside the system. We don't need to, for lightning and transient purposes, dissolve the bands that tie us to government. What we need to do is use the brilliant system that our Founding Fathers gave us. The seeds for solutions are already in the system. Okay? So if you've got vote fraud in America, you don't just let a state or a couple of states or a couple of attorneys go to the federal government, the general government, and say, hey, we feel wronged here. We want a redress of grievances. They're the furthest government from the people. It'll never work. The government says you don't have standing, shuts you down, attacks some of the attorneys that have the guts to tell the truth on this thing. And then we think, well, we've tried that. We've tried everything. We're just done. The fat lady's singing. No, it's a lie. That isn't true. You need to use the most local, closest to the people division of or jurisdiction in government that you have at your fingertips. That is the precinct. That is the county. And you say, well, Sam, even my county officials are corrupt. That doesn't work. Even my sheriff is corrupt. That doesn't work. Ladies and gentlemen, you have, by ignorance, allowed the checks and balances, allowed these jurisdictional divisions, this separation of power, you've allowed that to literally be destroyed. You've got the 17th Amendment that gave the states power to negotiate at the, quote, national level. But yet we've jettisoned that with the 17th Amendment. We've dismantled one of those checks and balances. You've dismantled many of the checks and balances along the way. Let me give you one recent example to highlight the point. We used to have precincts, ladies and gentlemen, where you'd go and vote. There was well over 100,000 of them in America. One of the most local levels of government where we had the greatest sphere of influence. People we knew, people that are local, people that we could talk to face to face. But we've allowed that to be circumvented by mail-in balloting, by mail, vote by mail. And now you don't have a precinct, really. You just have a state. Well, you mail it in. I guess it's by state. And if the feds have their way, they'll move it to the federal government. Now, won't they? Do you see, you cannot run a constitutional republic when you let these checks and balances decay, fall away, be violated at every turn. These jurisdictional checks and balances are the key to the restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. You cannot jettison this collective by the consent of the governed and individually take responsibility. That isn't the way that it works. You cannot secede individually. You cannot retract your consent individually. And you cannot take power or authority into your own hands that you've delegated to someone else. You've said the sheriff is the executor of your county. You've said that the governor is the executive of your state. You've said that the president is executive of the general government. You've also done the same thing judicially with the DA, the attorney generals, etc. You have done the same thing with your legislative bodies. You have given them authority and power by delegation as a collective, not individually. And so as a result, ladies and gentlemen, you cannot individually sever the contract. You don't have individual authority to do that. So understand there are ways to restore the republic, but this sovereignty movement, this idea that I can go back to King George's common law or King George's court, or I can go back to these principles that came from the Magna Carta, or I can, you know, use the Declaration of Independence and jettison the contract that we collectively agreed to after, those are not viable solutions. The solution is to learn and understand the proper role of government, and then to insist on that at the most local of levels. And if enough Americans are moral, God-fearing, and are on God's errand, protecting the sacred cause of liberty, then we can claw back. We can push back and slowly but surely restore the republic as intended by our founders. It will not happen overnight. I know a lot of people are impatient. I know they think we're out of time and we must act now or we're all doomed. I've been told every election cycle we're doomed this next election if we don't do something. And I've been at this for 25 plus years as a talk show host. And I've been an adult literally 35 years. What's that? Every 2 years, it's like 17 election cycles or whatever. Okay, I've seen this as an adult. And I'm telling you, it is not the end of the world. The sky is not falling. Yes, we're in serious trouble. And yes, we need to return to God's law. And yes, we need to then work together for the restoration of America. But let's not be guilty of reducing ourselves to our enemy's level, which is to pretend we can just take power into ourselves. The checks and balances are there for a reason, and they can be used to protect us if we turn to them. We're not against the sovereign citizen and that idea. We are against the tactics being taken because we believe that it's folly. We believe that we end up with a moral low ground, if you will. We believe that we end up, if we're not very careful, with great intentions, but that's the road paved to hell. Great intentions. Be very, very wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Be very careful to turn to the blueprint the founding fathers gave us. They gave their very blood and lives. We need to carry their legacy forward. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. God save the Republic of the United States of America and bless us with the courage to take part.